Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so honored today because we are switching things up here at The Morning Cup, and we are now having amazing male entrepreneurs on the channel. And I'm so excited to introduce the founder, family man, and our very own authority on hygiene, Avi Rubin. Coming from a jiu-jitsu family, Avi is no stranger to the bacteria that lives to infect your skin. He learned at a young age, our skin is the first line of protection from infection and disease. Avi spent the last 15 years of his life researching, testing, and developing formulas that put you and Mother Nature first. His mission is to educate anyone and everyone on the dangers of the chemicals in store-bought soaps and strives to make it easier to live an earth-conscious lifestyle. Avi's deep commitment to living out his own personal echoes through everything he does with Iron Lion Soap. It's established its company and is the catalyst for change. Thank you so much, Avi, for being here today.
Thank you so much, Caroline. I'm excited to be here and I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Me too. I am so excited to really dive into your journey because I know you spent the last 15 years really doing all the groundwork for your amazing soap. Could you just really share your journey of how you got here today?
Yeah, of course. I got here on accident, right? That's kind of how some of the best things happen. I was training jiu-jitsu about six to seven days a week, and it was a really huge part of my life. Not just the art of jiu-jitsu, but also the sport and the lifestyle that came with it. And one day from a training partner, I contracted a pretty bad case of ringworm. And I'll spare the details, but we couldn't get rid of it with Western medicine. We tried like the topical ointment, we tried the injections, we tried the antifungal pills, and I was just having a really hard time with this infection. I couldn't get rid of it. And so my mom came with me to one of my doctor's appointments, and she was a bit disgruntled. You know, she said something along the lines of, "Is there anything else?" Right. Mm-hmm. And the doctor at the time, this was 2005, 2006, the doctor had suggested essential oils. And at this time, it was very uncommon, right? We didn't have the wisdom that we have now with the power of plants, and it wasn't so trendy and common kind of knowledge or a regular thing that was spoken about, right? So we discovered the magic of tea tree essential oil. We were able to get a really, really refined batch straight from Australia. And it got rid of my ringworm almost right away. Like in a few days, my ringworm started to supersede and the swelling would go down and it stopped spreading. It stopped moving. And that was incredible. And so naturally the progression was, let's keep using this oil and let's keep seeing how we can implement this in our life. And one thing led to another, and we started making soap in the home garage, and just sort of out of necessity to keep myself and all of our training partners clean and safe to be able to continue to train, right? And we did that for maybe 8 to 10 months. We were just making soap and passing it out to friends and family and our training partners. Like I said, we had no intention of selling it. We weren't a business. We were just having fun and yeah. Ultimately providing a solution for this really serious problem that some of us were facing. Yeah. And sort of the switch that happened, or the big catalyst that pushed us over, was one of our training partners had asked to purchase some soap. And initially we're like, oh no, don't worry about it. You know, it's our gift to you. Right. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, I want to purchase like 500 units and give them out for the holidays as like gifts to my clients and customers. And we were like, oh, okay, you know, and that night at dinner, we always ate dinner as a family. It was just something that we did. And we discussed, you know, our days and the things that were happening. And naturally, we discussed that one of our training partners wanted to purchase 500 bars of soap. And in that conversation, we had realized that in all of the months that we were making soap, about 8 to 9 months, we hadn't even made 500 units all put together. So we realized, wow, we're up against something here. We committed to 500 bars. Are we going to be able to do it, right? And what ended up happening was that night at dinner, we decided that we were going to not only take Iron Lion soap, not only were we going to take the soap thing seriously, but we were going to turn it into a business. And that's sort of how Iron Lion soap was born, that night at the dinner table.
I love it. You know, some happen in garages, kitchen tables, and I love it. It just, you know, keeps going.
Yeah. And so that's really how it started. That's, and you know, I think that following week we had sent like a group email to some of our friends. I had asked my neighbor if they would be willing to help us produce these soaps and if they were willing to help us like stamp boxes so that we could label them. And it turned into this, you know, this whole operation where we quickly realized like, wow, we have, not only do we have an effective product, but we have something people want and people desire and they enjoy it. And so 15 years later, here we are.
Oh my gosh, how incredible. But you know, it's just like that need, especially for jiu-jitsu, like because of the impact of just being like barefoot as well. And just, I mean, I don't know too much about it. That's your wheelhouse. But from what I've seen and the little I know, but being able to really provide that solution for so many people that might be struggling with any bacteria that is caught on the mats as well. And I'm curious, because you recruited all your neighbors and everyone to like start doing all the stuff in the production in the beginning, how did that start to grow over time in the last 15 years?
Well, we realized that it needed some like formalities, you know, it needed to follow a certain structure and feel and behave a certain way if we wanted people to trust us with their skin, right? And so we didn't want to come off as this corporate entity, because that's not who I am, and that's not how, you know, that's not how my family operates, right? And so it was really important to us that we were able to inject our own sort of ethos and our own sort of personality into not only the business, but how we operated as a business too, and really instill a healthy culture and a healthy sort of I guess what I'm trying to say is like a healthy mindset for growth and for scaling. It wasn't about making a quick dollar or being able to hire the neighborhood. It was about doing something that was sustainable, that could last for generations and generations. And I'd like to think that we've built that. And so it really came from understanding where our true north is and really getting a good understanding of like, how are we going to get there?
Yeah.
But also being able to answer those difficult questions, like hiring questions or supply chain type of issues or logistical type of scenarios, and having a really solid foundation, having a really solid understanding of what we're doing this for, allowed those questions to be answered much easier. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. And I think it's so important too, just because the skin is the largest organ we have. And a lot of people might know that, might not, but it is. Yeah, I didn't learn, like I learned this maybe like 5-6 years ago. Like I knew things, but not really, if I'm being honest. But I think too, when you think of the skin, it is so important what we're putting on our skin. And I know that's something that you really strive on, is just what's like clean and protective, and all the research you've done, what has like in creating these formulas, because it's not just one type of soap. Yeah. There's so many different entities. So can you speak a little more to that, of how you came up with all the different types?
Yeah, totally. So we've got two collections, more or less. We have our OG collection. These are the originals, that have all been formulated with a purpose. They've all been created and formulated to be solution driven, right? Whether it be acne or redness and dryness, or overly oily skin or under oily skin, right? We've tried to create these very core collection of soaps that were producing a very specific sort of solution to a very specific problem. And that's allowed us to create our OG collection, which is only 8 formulas. Like I said, they're all created in a way to be extremely medicinal to a certain extent, right? Like it isn't medicine, but the power that plants and the characteristics that these ingredients have are time tested and proven to be highly effective And so that is sort of our core collection. Mm-hmm. And we address everything from, you know, redness to itchiness to you know, acne to bacne. I mean, you name it, we've dealt with it, you know, dermatitis and Rosacea and psoriasis. I mean, we've got something in that OG collection that helps those ailments. And then we have a second collection, which is a little bit more fun, and it's our limited edition collection. And it's based on the seasonality of certain ingredients available throughout the world and different sort of experiences that we're trying to convey. And so just this week, we released our mango guava formula and our watermelon lemonade formula. Not only is that super aligned with the summertime, but it's also extremely beneficial for like sun-kissed skin. Or the mango guava has copious amounts of aloe vera, so it's really good if you spend a long day out in the sun, you know, and you get sunburnt. The aloe vera in there is going to help replenish and sort of hydrate your skin below the surface. So yeah, I mean, it's the limited edition collection is everything that we want to do, and the OG collection is everything that we needed to do to sort of establish ourselves in this space.
Oh, I love it, because there are a lot of soap companies out there, but just like the aspect of really looking through each step of what's going to really be beneficial for the human skin when they're dealing with so many different aspects that regular soap can't do.
Yeah, totally. And like, we're not doing anything new. Soap has been around for ages. Yeah. Depending on who you ask, some people say thousands of years, right? Yeah. And so it was really important in our inception to have that understanding moving into it, and understanding that people, a lot of people are set in their ways. And so a big part of our sort of origin, right, sort of how we got to the 5-year mark and how we got to the 10-year mark was based on education. It was really informing people of some of the harmful ingredients or some of the harmful chemicals that are in our traditional store-bought and commercially manufactured soaps.
And I'm curious, because Lion soap as well, like Iron Lion soap, where did that come from? How did you come up with that name?
Yeah, so it's a cool story. So in our home growing up, mom was always responsible for dinner and dad was responsible for dishes. And part of his sort of role in dinner was like picking whatever we'd listen to during dinner, right? So that he could go into dinner and then segue into dishes, and if he'd have his jams going, and that was it. And so the night that we had decided that we were going to start a soap company, Iron Lion Zion by Bob Marley was playing in the background, and we started just going, hey, how about Iron Lion soap? And my younger sister and my brother, they were like, this is great, let's do it. And my mom was like, yeah, Iron Lion soap. And I was like, okay, Iron Lion soap. And that's really how that was born. It was awesome.
I love the story, because it just kind of goes true to like that family oriented aspect of the environment, but what's going on in that environment too. I love it.
it was this is a bit cliche because we are an organic company and we use organic ingredients, but a lot of our existence and our journey and sort of the entire trajectory has been just very organic. It's been very gut based and intuition driven, and sort of doing the things that we want to do that are still aligned with our sort of ethos, still aligned with our sort of vision.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you, because you said it is so organic, were there any like bumps in the road while growing your business and scaling it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when we started, it was really easy to just go to the store to buy our ingredients, right? We were producing on a small scale, and it was convenient for us to be able to source ingredients that fit our criteria, but also were accessible. And as we grew, it became more increasingly difficult to maintain that level of quality, the traditional routes. And so one of the larger challenges that has played off massively for us is our supplies and our vendors. You know, we work really, really closely with all of our raw material and biomass people. You know, a lot of them are small family farms and plantations that are just, some of them don't even have a website. You know, we only communicate via Skype, right? And You know, like our palm oil comes from a tiny little farm village in Sri Lanka that not only supports the orangutans, but they've been there for 25 years, like supplying healthcare and medical aid and veterinary aid to the orangutans in the area. And so it's really nice to be a part of that and to have sort of that affiliation that not only are we supporting a small family, but we know that what they're doing is positively impacting our world too. That was probably one of the greatest challenges, and thankfully now we've got it pretty dialed down and have a really good understanding logistically of how to source and where and who to get things from.
Because that's really important too. And like, how did you source everything out? Like, how did you find these family farms, the plantations, especially out of the country?
Yeah, a lot of them was on referral. You know, this was 2007, 2008, you know, so yeah, the internet was around and people were surely online, but it wasn't at the capacity in which we're online now. And access wasn't so readily available in other countries the way it was in America at that time. And so it was a lot of, hey, you should call this guy, but call him around midnight because it's around 10 a.m. over there, you know, or like, you know, send an email and you know, it would bounce back and I'd be like, shit, that's the only person I could email. Like, oh man, like that's a bad email. Did I hear it wrong on the phone? Did I write it down incorrectly? You know, and there was a lot of that. But again, it's that effort and that energy that those type of situations took were so, so valuable now, right? Looking back on it, it sort of built that grit. It sort of built that resilience to be able to be like, did I copy that email down wrong? Did I spell it incorrectly? Maybe I'll try a different letter, right? Or just doing whatever you can by any means necessary to get over that hurdle. It's a pretty tricky fine line to walk.
It sounds like it. And I know it is in other capacities too, but being able to not give up if one thing doesn't go exactly how you thought it would, or not getting the right information, but being able to persist through that, because it can be challenging, especially if they're not just like down the street, they don't have social media back in like 2007 in particular, like it wasn't as big, but how that can really be a roadblock, but not allowing that to stop you in your tracks and just continuing to persevere.
Yeah, it's interesting looking back on it. You know, I've been fortunate enough to speak to different groups and be on multiple, you know, podcasts. And I've realized that in today's day and age and in our sort of space that we're building and you know, it's America's very late stage, you know, capitalism and the people forget the human element. They forget that one-on-one sort of piece that like, I'm a human, you're a human, let's treat each other as such and not hide behind this facade of an entity or I'm this big corporation, right? It's more on a one-on-one type of level that these massive things come from, not necessarily these big, scary, you know, facades. It's really this one-on-one thing that makes these type of things flourish.
Absolutely. It's those relationships, but it's also having the patience too, because a lot of like with social media in particular, it's that instant gratification of a like or a comment or whatever it is, but recognizing too, it takes time to build something incredible like you have done yourself.
Thank you.
And like with your family.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think patience is a huge element to that, but also the resilience, the fortitude to keep going, to keep trying, you know. And I can only speak for myself in this situation, but it's, you know, I was so driven by the belief that everybody had in the products we had created, right? So I was no longer building this thing for me. I was building this thing because others saw the value in it as well. And so putting the fuel on the fire, if you will, was really easy to do, although the challenges were there and it wasn't so simple. Being motivated to go that hard and to go that deep was, you know, a walk in the park.
It sounds like it. And I'm curious, because so many people have benefited from your products. What has maybe been a customer review or a comment or something that's happened where you've really changed somebody's life? I know there's been so many stories, but if you could pick one or two.
So many. just last week, I got one, and I actually, like, no joke, I actually started tearing up when I read it. It was this 47-year-old adult male who is the full-time caretaker of his 15-year-old autistic son. And his son was in a phase where he refused to shower, was no longer interested in taking care of his hygiene. And as the parent, this man couldn't parent his child the same way that he was parented, right? That's how I understood it, right? He couldn't throw his kid in the shower and, you know, you got a shower, stinky boy, right?
Yeah.
Because he had to be a little bit more gentle and a little, you know, try different methods with his son. He shared with me that not only did Iron Lion motivate his son to shower, but the tactical act of like using the bar on the skin actually brought joy to this young boy. And now he like looks forward to showering. And the dad sent me this testimonial just thanking me for what we've created, not only in how we've created it, but the actual performance. And, you know, it does help remove fungus and it does help remove bacteria. And his son is now showering and is enthusiastic about showering, and he attributed that to Iron Lion soap. And it's just, you know, that is worth all the mansions and all the fast cars and all the jewelry times 10. You know, those type of testimonials really is like, it hits me right in the heart. And that's what we do it for. You know, it's to make these impacts, it's to make these monumental situations come from something that you typically never stop to think about. Everybody showers. Some people shower multiple times a day and no one stops to think about, what am I showering with? What's the ritual here? What's my intention here? It's become just so second nature to us that it's a chore. We just go and we do it and it's on to the next thing, rather than really encompassing and embodying that one-on-one intimacy that you have with yourself. It's a moment to heal, to regenerate, to get clean, to have this beautiful aromatic experience. You know, and contributing to that is priceless for me.
I was all in the feels. Yeah. it's so true. Like, I have a soft spot for autistic children, but I can only imagine. Like, my mom was a special education teacher, so she would tell me all these stories of her students, but just hearing this situation as well, and like how you really were able to help change how he viewed showering. Yeah. Because I think you're right. People just are like, okay, it's a chore. I know I used to, when I was a therapist, it's like, okay, washing off all the day from my clients, or just like cleansing as well. And that's what I think, it's that experience where sometimes people are missing or not really diving into. But I think for that in particular, that's little boy was able to really have a different relationship with the shower and with soap, being able to use that and have that experience, especially the like actual soap bar. Because a lot of times, especially, like, I could be totally butchering this, but with a lot of kids that are autistic or have anything that's going on, sometimes it's the texture of something that bothers them. But for them to be okay with the soap bar is huge.
I mean, yeah, the way that I understood it was like the opposite, right? Like, he was the child was physically able to connect with the product. And that, and then make that connection, like, oh, I like the way this feels.
Yes.
And I like the way it makes me feel. And for me, that, you know, personally, that's one of my goals for Iron Lion, is to really alter the way people view their shower. It doesn't have to be a chore.
No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. Oh, I'm loving this conversation. So kind of moving into like your whole journey, because I know you've had a lot of experiences, but what has been maybe two or three things you wish you would have known when you had started your business?
Oh, wow. Two or three, or 203. Yeah.
I mean, you know, whatever we have time for.
I've always thought of myself as an organized person, and my mom always called me like OCD, right? Like, I'm not clinically diagnosed, but like, I like to have my things where they belong. And if something's removed, it needs to go back, you know? And when I started my business and we started hiring on staff and, you know, different partners and different people, I realized like, wow, I'm not as organized as I thought I was. And I'm not as organized as I need to be. And the lesson that I really took away from it was like, just because I view something a certain way, or my perspective on something is skewed to a certain way, doesn't mean that this person that I'm trying to work with or alongside or together with sees it or understands it that way. And so really stripping the noise away and really simplifying things was a massive lesson that I had to learn the hard way. You know, I would let go of employees, or I would have help that just, oh, it didn't work out. It's, you know, it's me, you know, we just don't work together well. And I realized, like, it really was me, right? I was just saying that as an excuse to not make them feel guilty because they were insufficient in my opinion. But I realized that it was actually from the top down, I was not effectively communicating to them, or I wasn't giving them proper instruction. And I would find myself making assumptions like, oh, you didn't do this. Well, you knew you needed to. And it was like, no, I never understood that part of the assignment or that segment or whatever. And I lost a lot of money, and I probably let go of some of the best help I've ever had because of that sort of impedance that I had with myself, realizing that I was the one that needed to come more correct or more clearly. And, you know, I think sort of full circle, what I've really taken away now in my role, like I just, maybe just 2 years now, I've really been able to sit in this CEO, in this founder position, and not constantly take hats off and do this and do that. I've been able to build a team around me that lets me live in this space. And I've realized how important it is to be able to articulate or to really convey your message in a way that maybe to you is simple, but to the other person is complex, and minding that gap and bridging that sort of disconnect is a really, really critical lesson that I learned. And sometimes I think I learned it too late, but here we are nonetheless.
Well, you learned it. That's all that matters.
That's right. I mean, I recently wrote a document for us internally at Iron Lion Soap. It's called The Cadence of Iron Lion. And it just basically outlines sort of our like working habits and sort of our sort of behavior, right? Like, so for me, as an example, I try not to take any meetings before noon. You know, my mornings with my daughter are super important to me. So if it's an emergency, call 911, not me. And so like getting those rules, getting that foundation really set, it was super, super critical. And now that we have this official document circulating internally and everybody sort of understands this cadence and how we operate, and everything has a home, and you know, this is what we do on Mondays to reflect back on Fridays, and getting it down and making it so stupidly simple was a ton of work, but the upside of that was incredibly valuable, and just you can't measure it. You can't quantify, you know, the hours and hours that this document took to write for the decades of results that it's going to generate. And so for me, that was just super amazing. I'm just glad to have that piece now here, and so that I can live in my role and everybody understands what their role and responsibility is. And it's really cool. It's really cool.
And it's having it up front, right? When it takes a lot of work on the back end, but once you have it in place, it just makes everything so much more seamless. And you can have that special time with your daughter in the mornings, and like people know not to call you at certain times, but like having that clear communication across the board, I think is so huge, because how we might think it in our head, I mean, I definitely do this. I'm like, oh, I thought I said that, but it was like internalized different for who you're speaking to. So it's like knowing the people that are around you too, and your team. And that's what I'm hearing from you as well. I think that's so key.
Yeah,
in being able to build.
It is. It's super key. And I really pride myself on the team that I have, you know, currently. And, you know, I tell them often that, you know, you guys are my forever team. If it was up to me, none of you would leave, you know. And
yeah.
And it's taken all of these years and all of these sort of situations and ups and downs to establish the ability to even recognize this, let alone put it into words and into a document so that it's digestible by everybody else too. And it's, like you said, it takes so much energy and so much effort on the backside. And now it just sits here and we hardly look at it, but it's here. And everybody knows that this is the core living and breathing elements of Iron Lion.
Absolutely. And that's what it's about. It's about being able to build your team and scale too. And I'm curious, like having this document now, what is that going to do for scaling your business?
That's a good question. We're not really interested in scaling. We're interested in growth, you know, something that's sustainable, something that we can do and replicate over and over and over. For me, scaling is taking the elevator rather than taking the stairs. And I will always choose the stairs over the elevator.
I like that analogy. And I mean, that's how I view scaling, like growth, but you're right. Like there is a different entity to those as well. But I think you're right. It's being able to have that sustainability, especially creating it for generations to come, like you were mentioning earlier, because it's not just a one-time thing or a product that like sells a lot of units, but then like, where's the sustainability and being able to continue on that path?
Totally. And for us, that's a core component of Iron Lion Soap, right? As much as we love new customers and having the opportunity to get new customers to share our story and hopefully make an impact in their hygiene and their showering experience, what is more important to us is making sure that our core customers are valued in a way that they know how important they are to us. You know, we've got customers who have been showering with us for 5 and 6 and 7 years now. And that's something that only the product can really do, right? No matter how great the marketing is or how cool the photos are, how silly I may be, that's not what's keeping somebody here. What's keeping somebody here is this high quality, high performing product. And we've been able to marry that with good photos and good, you know, branding and a good message. And I always tell people that like the soap is just the vessel for this message that we have. It just so happens to be that that vessel is also high performing right alongside our high performing, you know, sort of message. Right. And it kind of boils down to a really simple sort of antidote, which I'm sure you've heard. I'm sure everybody's heard before. It's like, if you know better, you should do better. And going back to what I had said earlier, like a lot of people don't understand one, how dangerous or how harmful the soap that they're showering with is commercially, but two, like your shower is special. You should be in that moment, really, really living it. And like you said, cleansing yourself and letting go of the past or the day and really recharging and rebuilding yourself up. And who better to do that for you than you? You might as well cultivate this incredible experience with a high quality shower head and a beautiful high quality product that not only feels good and smells good, but also leaves you safe and protected. And that's what we want here at Iron Lion Soap. That's our goal, is to really promote and push that forward.
I love it. And that's what it is about. It's being able to have that relationship with ourselves, but in the shower too. And, you know, it's not really talked about at all.
It isn't. It's such an intimate thing, you know, and being a man, having a soap company, it's a really curious, like icebreaker a lot of the time for somebody who doesn't know me, or, you know, if I'm out and about, you know, at a networking thing. Right. And I cannot tell you that the walks of life of people who have opened up to me, from like this biker gang guy, like one of the toughest looking guys I've ever seen, to this timid old lady who's showered with the same thing that she showered with for 60 years now. Right. And it's bringing down that barrier and letting people know, like, hey, it doesn't have to be taboo. Yes. It's an intimate experience, but it's something that we all do. Everybody showers. Some of us shower multiple times a day. And I think it's so silly for us to not have these one-on-one conversations, you know, human to human interactions where we talk about our shower. Nobody has a problem talking about their shoes or their favorite restaurant or look at my new car or whatever it may be. Yeah. When's the last time you heard somebody talking about their soap or their shower, right? Like it's not a common topic.
No, it's not, which I'm so glad we're talking about it. Because I think the more people that hear about it, the more they can know and also know what they're using, but also get in touch with your products as well, just like everything about them too, and being able to really help people and their skin.
It's so critical, right? Like I think that's really my sort of like life's mission or my life's work. Like I want people to start talking about their shower. Right. Even if it's not in context with Iron Lion Soap, talk about your shower, talk about that experience, because it is so critical in your, you know, from day to day. Right. And a lot of people, a lot of our modern world exists the way that it exists. Yes. Because of technology and, you know, cultural advances, but really because of hygiene, right? Sickness has been eradicated because of hygiene. You know, wealth has been accumulated because of hygiene. You know, you when you feel good, you do good, right? And so it's just it's such a taboo subject for some strange reason to me.
Well, we're no longer making it taboo. Starting here.
That's right. Starting here.
But I've been so enjoying this conversation, but we're jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Let's do this. I'm ready.
All right. The first question is, who is your hero?
Who is my hero? That's a tough one. I my pops is my hero. You know, I feel like that's pretty cliche. But I look up to him. You know, he's an amazing father. He's an amazing husband. He's a great friend. You know, so many of his friends and his people tell me how lucky I am to have him as my father because he's such a great friend. My pops is definitely my hero.
Well, he sounds like an incredible man and raised an incredible son.
Thank you.
So what motivates you to work smarter?
Well, recently it's been my daughter. You know, I want to work smarter so that I work more effectively, so that I essentially have more time with her. That's really been a big motivator for me.
That quality time. We can't get it back.
Yeah. And it goes all too quick.
It does. So if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
I would love to be able to fly. I think that that's kind of just an incredible trait that I think we should all have the ability to execute on.
I think so too. So I have a question just to clarify, because I hear flying, but is it more teleporting or is it flying where you get
I want to be able to like fly.
Okay. I had to clarify.
Yeah. Like I often meditate and for me, something that I find that always takes me from my meditation is I'll get distracted by like a bird coasting or cruising.
Yeah.
Right. And it just looks so fun. It looks like they're just kind of doing one of these, like they don't have really any purpose or they don't have anywhere to be or anything to do, and they're just kind of free floating. And I would love to be able to do that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it sounds really fun.
Teleporting would be really rad too.
Well, we'll stick to flying. Your answer is flying. I got you. I approve.
I'm a fan of doing the work, and I feel like maybe teleporting is a little bit easy way out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the stair, or it's not the stairs. It's the elevator. Yeah. If you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Ooh, that's a good one. Wow. I would love to share a meal with Bob Marley. He's a big inspiration to me. I would love to share a meal with Marcus Aurelius, who is a Stoic philosopher. It would be really cool to share a meal with like Godzilla. That would be, that would be incredible.
That'd be intense.
It'll not be a meal, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. As the fourth person, I don't know. I would leave the fourth seat empty for anybody who would like to join our meal.
That's creative. I like that. So what is the phone app that you use the most?
Ooh, probably my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a hyper scheduler. If it's not in my calendar, it's not real life.
I'm right there with you. That's how it all gets done.
That's right. Yeah, it's a bad habit. You know, I feel like sometimes it weakens my natural ability to remember my task or my duties or my responsibilities. But literally I've got go home, walk the dog, grab groceries, you know, meeting here, right? It's very important for me to have a clear view, because I feel that mentally my capacity is spent elsewhere, that it shouldn't be held responsible for remembering my day to day.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think it's scheduling everything and the shower too.
Yes.
You know, had to tag that. What is the last book that you've read?
I'm almost done. It's Courage is Calling by Ryan Holiday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good one.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite authors. This is his newest book. It's the first of a series and it's incredible. It's incredible. Oh. So great.
Well, I got to check it out. I'm adding it to my list. So what is your favorite family recipe, whether it's traditional or you just love making it together?
Well, that's a good question. Traditionally, I would say that one of my favorite family recipes is meatballs and peas, something my mom made, but she learned from her mom. It's sort of like a Moroccan gypsy dish, I guess. It's very like very peasanty, you know, it's like the ground beef and then all the vegetables left over from the night before, cooked in like a steamed pea stew. It's so good. Yeah. And now that I've got my own family, we've been really, really big on Wellington. So we do like a mushroom Wellington or a beef Wellington, or made like a cinnamon apple Wellington a couple of months ago, just for fun to try it. I've found that I have this massive gravitational pull towards food that's encompassed in itself. So like empanadas and pot pies and pot stickers. I love those kind of things.
You never know what's going to be inside.
That's like kind of a little surprise every time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. Well, it all sounds delicious. Yes. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal, personality type, style, what animal would you be?
This is a tricky one. I don't know. I don't know, because I have who I think I am, right? Like, I think that I'm shy and I think that I'm, you know, not outgoing, but then I look back and I reflect on sort of my life and my everyday experience. And I'm definitely not, I don't come off as shy and I'm definitely not outgoing, you know? And so it's hard for me, but I would say that I would be like coral in the ocean. I know that that's not necessarily like an animal, but it is alive. It is breathing, you know? And the reason that I sort of landed on that, maybe like a grass, you know, that's not an animal, but coral, right? It's alive. And I think for me, I resonate with that because it's such a critical piece of the ocean. It's so integral to the function of the entire ecosystem down there. Mm-hmm. Yet it's very easy to just overlook it and ignore it. However, the moment it's gone, you know, that ripple effect is massive. So that's sort of how I see myself, you know, very, very behind the scenes. I'm a very private person. And so it's not like I'm sharing everything in all of my doings, but those who are in my immediate vicinity are very aware of my presence and sort of my intentions.
Well, that was a very insightful answer. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate
not
that.
Not too insightful.
I think it's insightful. I'm sure other people will too. So if you have a day off, now that you have everything organized and good, what is your favorite way to spend that day off?
With my dog and my daughter and my wife. Yeah, like I am super, super loving the stage that I'm at in my life, being a husband and a father. It's incredibly fulfilling. It's super motivating. And just, it really fills my cup. It allows me to constantly pour and give. And that's really what I love to do. And I didn't realize that I would often pour from an empty cup until I came to the realization that like my family really does fulfill me, and now I'm able to pour even more effectively, even more efficiently.
I love that you said the priority piece, because that's something we talk a lot about on here, is like putting yourself at the top of the priority list so you have more to overflow into everybody else that you love and care about. But I appreciate you bringing that up, because I think it's important to the cup deleted.
I agree. I recently adopted the mindset that you can only have one priority at a time. There is no such thing as multiple priorities. One of them is less than, right? So it's one priority. And on adopting that sort of mindset, I realized, wow, this is incredibly selfish of me. I'm putting myself at the top every list. And only now, you know, probably this last year, I've come to realize like that is actually the most selfless thing that I could do, because if I'm okay, then everything else is going to be okay in my space, right? I'm going to be able to show up and be present. I'm going to be healthy and happy and you know, full of nutrition so that I can take care of whatever it is that I need to take care of. And if I'm sleeping good, if I'm eating well, if I'm meditating, if I'm exercising, and I'm able to fill all of my buckets, man, I'm over here just splashing and giving away, because I've got an abundance of it. And I've really come to realize that, like, if I'm not taking care of myself, then I can't take care of anything else.
Well put. And what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
Something an outsider. Wow, there's quite a few. A really good shock value one. More than 90% of commercially manufactured soap has the moisturizing glycerin removed from it, only to be repackaged and sold as lotion. Over 90%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fun fact for you all.
Fun fact. So next time you make a purchase, it should be Iron Lion soap. Obviously. However, if you choose to shower with somebody else, please make sure that you don't have anything weird in your ingredients, that you can pronounce everything. And most importantly, make sure that there's glycerin in your hygiene products. If there is no glycerin in there, you are being sold a secondary product to take care of what your soap stripped from you and didn't return back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy what we don't know. But now that we know that, everyone check your labels.
Right. Check your labels. Or we can make it really easy and just shop at ironlionsoap.com.
I know. It'll be linked below, which is my last question. Where can people find you? Your website? Well, we'll link everything below, but let us know where we can find
you. So we're going super all in on Instagram. So that's probably the best place to find us. Mm-hmm. Second to that is directly to us. We have a SMS line where we're constantly texting back our customers and, you know, trying to help answer skin ailments and things of that matter. We love getting pictures of before and afters. So we've been really, really big on SMS, but the best spot to get us is ironlionsoap.com. That's our digital lion's den. That's this space that you're in here now outside and in your home and hopefully in your shower soon.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Avi, for just sharing your journey, the ups, downs, and just how much you are helping people, especially in the shower with their hygiene. And I think that is so important, moving the conversation further along and people knowing that it's not taboo to talk about it, because we do it at least once a day, sometimes more, but really being able to continue that conversation. So I appreciate you being on today.
Thank you for having me. And this was a great conversation. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Avi? What did you learn about hygiene? Because he dropped a lot of golden nuggets there. But we'll see you on the next video.